Yeah. It is high, whole nine yards. We're time.
Here. We are here again.
Yeah.
Both of us.
Yeah. We just took a little 1 week hiatus.
Spring break as I was out at the library.
Yeah.
Watching some new research books.
And you brought back gold.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I dug deep into the files.
I mean, we need those.
I think your purchase of the Samuel Pepys diary is going to help us out.
I mean, every day I get some kind of a nugget out of it, or just a little, wow, man, they used to do that.
Slice of 1600s.
Yeah. Like, one of the things I think about, even like, so watching a show like Mad Men, okay, so it's the 60s.
Yes.
But the guys, like the main guys that own the agency, they always have like a wad of money in their pocket. But there isn't a Mac machine, right? So a dude will give somebody $400 for something, which in 19, right. is a lot of money.
Oh, you know? Sure.
And then, but he still has money.
Yeah.
And then any other time he needs money, he's got money. And it makes you think, does he stop at the physical bank every day and get money? Like, how's he get money?
Prop guy.
Yeah, but I mean, so even worse with Samuel Pepys in the 1600s, like, he's got money, but how's he getting money?
What do you do with your money?
What do you do with it?
You just hoard it, right? That's like a dragon. You sleep on it. Is it in your mattress?
I don't know.
We'll have to touch on that one. That's something we should look into.
Yeah. Those questions come up.
That's a great intro. That would be a great intro for that show.
The Samuel Pepys Diaries.
Yeah, we just did. We should save it. Use it again.
All right. We'll save that, everybody. So sorry for that, everyone.
No, I like that.
We have a nice topic that's relevant.
Yes, we're talking about coffee this week.
Yeah.
Coffee.
And I enjoy vast quantities.
Yes, I also do. Most folks I know enjoy coffee.
Yeah, we're in the United States, so we don't drink the tea. Now, British friends here in the United States that I have had, they dislike our tea, except they will buy one brand that begins with a T, and they say that is the best they can get here in the States often is what they, but there are other brands of black tea that we have that don't meet there. I don't drink tea, so it all is acidic and stomach-wrenching for me.
Same, I get an upset stomach.
Yeah, but I guess you just condition yourself. Or our British friends have a different
palate.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I drink a lot of coffee.
Sure. So, I'm going to go first.
That's fantastic.
Ha. Yeah.
What do you have first?
You know, I have Java.
Oh, fantastic.
And we say that. I don't say it a lot, but some people say it to me, or it's written on a fancy slogan.
Definitely some restaurant or coffee shops named with a Java in there.
Oh, all the time, right? Yes.
Plus there's beer, Java Stouts. I'm not going to mention a brand, but yeah, for sure.
We could if they sponsored us.
It's true.
So, yeah, Java Stouts, all of that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a vanilla Java Porter.
Mm-hmm.
That I get at some places, yes.
Nice. Yeah, right.
Coffee at all, for one thing, began in Ethiopia. It only grew in Ethiopia.
Right.
And so it's in the province of Kaffa, K-A-F-F-A, but it's an Arabic word, really, which means a drink from berries, and it's spelled Q-U-A-H-W-A-H, and I'm going to try not to slaughter their pronunciation, but it's like, it's Ahwa, ahwa.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that is where it all began. Like, and don't you wonder about that too? Like the first of everything. So someone had to pick those things, like take the cover off of them or whatever, dry them, then smash them and put them with some hot water.
Right.
Who did that? Ain't nobody got time for that.
No, it is fascinating when you figure out who does those. Like, first you have to find out if this is poisonous, right? And so you have to try some and see if you don't die. Right, you saw something eating it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But that doesn't necessarily guarantee one creature may be fine with something.
Right.
So I don't know.
Well, because these are, like, coffee is not the brown treat that we smell today. It's a green kind of bean, right? Like, it grows as almost a berry, like you said.
Exactly.
Right. So even still, how do you get from, I'm going to pick these blueberries to let me make this drink from them, essentially.
So then, you know, some stuff happens, all right? Keep in mind, it only grew in Ethiopia.
Okay.
Right? So Arabic people took it to Yemen and planted it there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it grew better there, flourished, and they were making bank on this drink from berries.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we got this.
To the point where it was illegal, punishable by the death, to take a plant out of the country, you know, because they had
it was that important.
Yeah, and they had the market cornered, right?
Right.
So you had to come and buy their
Yemeni.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know how stuff is.
You can't tell people what to do.
Right. Yeah. So the Dutch, they snuck in somehow in the late 1600s and stole some plants anyway.
Yoink.
And they took them over to Indonesia and planted them there. And that little grouping of islands over there includes the island of Java.
Java.
You guessed it.
Nice.
But. It's more than that.
All right.
So crazy things also happened. It did well growing in Indonesia on Java, and Java produced some really great tasting coffee beans.
Yeah.
But it was still this strain of this plant that came out of Ethiopia.
Originated.
and
mm-hmm.
Yemen.
Mm-hmm. Did the Dutch take it from Yemen?
They took it from Yemen.
Okay, gotcha. But I know it's from.
I think the Arabs took it from Ethiopia to Yemen.
Gotcha.
So that's why I'm just saying
it's
the original strain.
From Ethiopia.
Right. But sometime, you know, this was interesting to me because I've never, as much as I love coffee, and I have my favorites, but I end up gravitating towards South American things that are rounder. A lot of times the African ones to me are more toppy and acidic,
mm-hmm.
but they're tasty, and I recognize that I just don't have quite the palate for all of it. Same as I don't like cilantro,
yeah,
but
sure.
I realize it must be really great to somebody.
To some people, apparently.
Yeah. So, but we all have our favorites, or like Kona, which I think is from Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
Or Sumatra, they're nice, and
Kona's
they're somewhere
Hawaii,
in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Sumatra for sure. It's dark, less acidic.
Right. But anyhow, so the plants growing in Java, everything was great until sometime in the 1800s when a nasty plague hit, and the plague wiped out the crop.
Oh.
So, you know, again, how we do, somebody's going to figure out how to make a plant that won't get the plague.
Yeah.
And so they did this plant called Robusta strain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Robusta.
Sure.
Now, here's the part that hurts, me being ignorant to all of this history and why we're drinking and hearing the things we drink and hear. So Robusta was robust
mm-hmm.
and resilient to the plague,
mm-hmm.
but it apparently lost something from the taste of the original plant. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no free lunch.
Sure, you got to give up something to get. I mean, you know,
yeah.
In a sense, there's a trade-off, I see. Yeah.
So you really want that original plant, but can we get it? I don't know. These are things now I have, now it's like everything's new to me.
Yeah, let's find it.
And it also makes me want to find an Ethiopian and a Yemen fair trade coffee that I do love and buy it because they got the short end of the stick back then, you know?
Yeah. I also enjoy the Ethiopian blend that I get, and I think I've had a Yemeni, I believe Sulawesi might be.
See, if they're a blend, then they cut some of that.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
Same as the Kona blend. Kona
sure.
blended with Colombian is really what I like, but you know, I'm partial pedestrian taste with that.
It's like different stuff.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's a nice, it's round.
It is round.
Kona.
But has a nice little flavor in
it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, but why Java when it grew really in the end in a lot of places. And now, obviously, you know, like I say, South America, right, all over.
Right.
Well, the popular idea is that Java beans coming from where? Java. They you know, they'd come in those sacks.
Yeah.
So they'd be printed in pretty ink like that rice we buy.
On the burlap, yeah.
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 On the burlap, and those bags would go all over, and they would go to New York, and hipsters in the early part of the 20th century, that is the 1900s, just started calling it that as a cool thing, whether it came out of the jazz culture, whether it came out of, you know, some early beatnik culture in New York, but it was cool to call your coffee Java. There are other speculations about songs, Java Jive, and things like that, but those were later.
There's got to be a dance.
Got
to be a dance.
And it would be very frenetic.
Yeah. And lots of kicks and stuff.
Yeah, all intricate. Kinds of, yeah.
Such intricate dances.
But lots of action because you have the energy.
Sure.
But that is based on usage,
yeah,
based on when it started becoming common, you know, vernacular, mm-hmm, that is the speculation on its origin. And so that's why Java is Java, island of Java, and yada yada. But for me, that is obvious. Okay, they took it to Java, grew Java, and then yada yada.
Yeah.
But the fun part is that history that I didn't know. I'm like, you know, the Ethiopian origin, the thieving by the Dutch, and all that stuff. So yeah, but it's nice because it makes me want to, like, just like I bought Samuel Pepys, I will now go try coffees I wouldn't have tried before.
Yeah, experience that stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I think it just in a general sense, if we know things of how we got places, it makes them richer. And it gives us places to go in the future instead of doing similar things that we've done. You know what I mean?
Truly.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good
just
about it.
Just a good sentiment, just in general. I like that. Yeah, I also now feel motivated to try some new coffee, and I really want some more coffee as we continue to talk about coffee.
And your word is?
I am hankering for a cup of Joe or cup of Joe.
And this isn't to grind up and liquefy our friend Joseph.
No, I don't want that. I don't believe I've never had it, so I can't really say for sure, but I think I don't.
Right.
Yeah, cup of Joe. It's the thing people say. So I probably say it as often as I would say Java. Not that frequently.
Not that frequently.
Yeah.
Again, on mugs and people say it. T-shirts.
Yeah. Or it's a, you know, a name of a place.
Right.
Which, sure. Anyway. So this phrase starts popping up in America in the 1930s. So there's a lot of interesting ideas to this one. So I'm going to touch upon a few of them. Some of them have more to them than other ones. During my research, two men named Joe came up. I'm going to focus on the first man, if that's all right with you. In pretty much all the places that we research and see. This man served from Secretary of the Navy from 1913 to 1921 under Woodrow Wilson, I believe, president in the United States. Josephus Joe Daniels. This is a Joe.
Josephus.
And I looked up, you know, some background on this gentleman. He seems like he's a forward-thinking fellow, cares about labor unions and workers' rights, but he also believes in kind of a tempered mind and body as well. Not restricting yourself, but, you know, maybe not, you know, taking on alcohol, things like that. So as this man rises in rank and becomes the Secretary of Navy, he issues on June 1st, 1914, General Order 66.
Mm.
That's just a joke for the Star Wars folk. General Order 99, which says on July 1st, 1914, Article 827, Naval Instructions, will be annulled, and instead, the following will be substituted. The use or introduction of drinking purposes of alcoholic liquors on board any naval vessel or within any naval yard or station is strictly prohibited, and commanding officers will be held directly responsible for the enforcement of this order. So this man comes into the Secretary of Navy and says, you know what? We're not allowing folks to drink on Navy vessels anymore. After this order, the strongest drink on the naval vessels that you could get would be a cup of coffee. And therefore, in their ire, the men would refer to this cup of Joe in order to express themselves about how much they would disdained it. This order exists. This is a real thing. This man exists. These are facts. This did happen for sure. Like, this all did happen.
Huh.
But the parts that are the holes that we like to poke through, that I saw are that U.S. naval vessels were pretty much dry since the early 1800s when officers lost their were spirit rations, were just like tokens to get drinks basically from the mess hall. The officers still retained some drinking on the naval vessels, I guess, and what I saw was referred to as a wine mess. They'd have alcohol just for the officers. So, in effect, this order really only went into a fraction of the percentage of the crew of the ships. The officers weren't that many people, and they weren't allowed to drink anymore. So it wasn't like a big deal. So it's unlikely that the normal seamen would have any kind of feel any effect from the banning of alcohol on the ships. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's possible that is, you know, what happened, and they did feel that way and started calling it a cup of Joe. Certainly possible. But there's, you know, it's colorful, as we like to do.
Well, I mean, it sounds plausible.
It's all real. Like, that stuff did happen.
Yeah, but you're leaning to say, but that isn't necessarily the start.
I'm just saying those are strong evidences for, and there's, you know, slight evidence that says probably not. It could have happened. The gentleman could have said this, but they probably wouldn't even have cared or known, or it wouldn't have bothered them, I guess, essentially, because the ships were already dry, you know?
Devil to pay.
My second cup of Joe, Mr. Joe Martinson, New York City.
Oh, there's a Martinson's coffee.
The Martinson Coffee Company, founded by Joe in 1898, actually trademarked the term cup of Joe.
In what year founded?
1898.
Yeah.
Yes. I could not find when this copyright was, though. Or trademark. I'm sorry. I said copyright. I meant trademark. I looked up briefly in a place that I assumed would contain trademarks, and I did not see this specific one. So I wanted to get a date on the trademark. I don't know when it was specifically. I know that the company was founded in 1898. So probably right around then.
Okay.
But I don't know. Yeah, I'm just letting everybody know that.
Yeah, that's close.
Hopefully. But as you said, it still exists.
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe it was in the 1980s. Who knows?
Well, up until, I mean, I think it still exists. It did 10 years ago.
It seems like it was bought out by somebody else distributing the name under something else, is what I saw. But the local folk in New York would go get his coffee at his shop, and they'd call it Joe's Coffee or Cups of Joe. This is New York City. So, again, it's possible that this caught on in a hub of population and spread throughout that way. The trademark is there. Or it exists. I couldn't see what date.
That just gives you that feeling. You know, it's like 1905 and Joe Martinson has a coffee shop on McDougal Street or something. You know, when you go down, like, come on, man. That's living.
You go down and grab a cup of Joe.
Sure, there was no penicillin or whatever, but it was still great times.
Yeah, sure. It took 45 minutes to get a photograph. You had to stand there.
Well, yeah.
Whatever. but these both bring us to a more likely explanation, I guess. You know, these are nice. These are the ones I enjoy too. But there's also this, which, you know, as you said, in Java, we got coffee from a place called Java. Another place the coffee came from was Mocha. We began seeing kind of cropping up through the, like you said, the shipping bags of these Javas and Mochas, word Jamoke. Did you come across this at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Which was basically...
Java Mocha.
Right, exactly, which is a kind of blend of the coffee. Like, okay. Then Jamoke becomes Joe through just natural... Give me a cup of Jamoke, give me a cup of Joe, through just time and laziness, is a theory.
So that's another one, though.
Well,
the Jamoke is like a schlep, right? I mean, we use it like that, I guess maybe incorrectly. I'm like, so this Jamoke comes into the
that's
bar?
How, right, I mean, we do, sure.
But it's just...
But in 1931, it's it's synonymous. Jamoke, Java, Joe, coffee.
Wow.
These are all synonyms in 1931.
You got to see how that made the leap.
It says Jamoke, Java, Java, obviously, and Joe were derived from the words Java and Mocha.
Yeah. No, I mean over into Schlepp.
Oh, right, how we got there.
It just means some
guy,
yeah.
Well, that's interesting, too, because the last little bit, I don't know, I saw that the word Jamoke was listed, and I looked up a dictionary of hobo slang, which was awesome as well. Like you said, you find stuff that's really cool. Yeah. They list Jamoke as hobo slang for coffee. So I don't know, maybe if you saw transient workers coming into your coffee to order, you know what I mean? You call
those
guys Jamokes.
And they asked for a Jamoke,
right?
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, that seems like a...
Could have been,
probably.
Yeah.
And then the last little bit is just kind of that it's the drink of every man, and Joe is a stand-in for every man, the name.
Mm.
But I don't know.
I don't like that.
That's fine.
I mean, I get it. In the world where everything's generic.
I saw this instant coffee theory in World War I, soldiers getting this. There was a George Washington that supplied, not George Washington, obviously, but, you know, a George Washington supplied instant coffee packets to soldiers, and they would call them cups of George because they had his name on the packets.
Mm.
And that also could have morphed. I didn't see a lot of like people backing that theory or a lot of that cropping up. It was mostly those other four that were like pretty much the most I saw anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Dang.
I think we figured out why people call them, Jamoke. Nice as well. It's a twofer.
Yeah, I didn't mean to use one up.
No.
But I mean, man, here you go.
But you know what? While we take a coffee break, you can take a listen to our ads.
Support Whole Nine Yards and make your life easier with Instacart. Online grocery shopping made simple. Instacart connects you with personal shoppers in your area to shop and deliver groceries from your favorite stores in a single order. Products you love from local stores, hand-selected based on your preferences. Many items may be delivered in as little as an hour. Instacart helps to save you money on your favorite items and recommends new products that you might also love. Instacart, the most convenient way to shop. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by the Roberto Clemente Museum. Located in a restored engine house in Pittsburgh's revitalized Lawrenceville neighborhood, the Clemente Museum is a showcase of the largest exhibited collection of baseball artifacts, works of art, literature, photographs, and memorabilia related to Roberto Clemente and his life in baseball. Shop the store for clothing and other items featuring the iconic 21 logo, and purchase tour tickets for the museum at clementemuseum.com. Enter promo code W9Y21 for a 10% discount on hats and tees. That's clementemuseum.com, promo code W9Y21. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by Big Science Music. Big Science Music is a Cannes and One Show award-winning original music and sound boutique, providing scoring, sound design, radio, podcast, and audio post-production services for the advertising, film, and video industries. Big Science Music also offers ADR, casting, and project management. Big Science Music's reels, full capabilities, and more can be found at BigScienceMusic.com. That's BigScienceMusic.com.
So that was something, wasn't it?
Yes.
I was really feeling that.
All of those things.
And I did not, during the break, get myself a cup of Joe.
Same.
But I you know what I should have?
Yeah.
You know what? I really failed myself.
Yes.
There.
I could use some. Yeah. So I'm back with the word mud.
Mud. Your name is Mud, mister.
I mean,
if you don't clean that room.
It's basically, you've did it.
Oh, come on.
That's good. I mean, there's nothing to it, but we started calling things mud back in the day that we meant were bad. So why do we call coffee mud?
I just thought, you know, some people experienced some sludgy, thick coffee that maybe has lost some of its water content to the environment. That is a scientific term called evaporation. And then it got sludgy and thick, and was mud-like. Now, that would still, as we know from muddled, be muddled
dirt, which
water.
Which was muddled.
Yeah. Dirt, which has been muddled.
Yeah, don't think I didn't have that in this list here.
But I digress.
Yeah. As you touched upon right there, and I know we have specific experience leaving our coffee mugs out until they evaporate down into that specific sludge. But you touched upon our origins, going back further even yet, but we're going to just say Java, even though we know now that it's Ethiopia.
Yeah.
So coffee was imported from there. So I looked up some traditional Indonesian coffee recipes, and I think you'll find a lot of places that aren't America, they use a more grounds directly in water situation, where we tend to filter our coffee grounds through a filter.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I looked up some recipes, and I saw one that said take 2 teaspoons of finely ground coffee, add boiling water to it, let it sit for about 5 minutes, drink it. No filter, no press, nothing, just drink it. You drink it.
Wow.
I did. I made it.
No, you did not.
I totally did. The grounds settle to the bottom, and it tastes like a very rich, warm cup of coffee. It has kind of like a French press. I mean, it's rounder. You know, it's got more of that body to it. It's not dampened, but it has almost a crema to it, like an espresso crema, you know?
Yeah.
Just naturally, it kind of, as you pour the water in, the beans release, or the grounds release that little bit of froth, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah, you add the water in, you let it sit, you drink it. It's pretty good. Like I hopped in too quickly to drink it, and I got a little bit of a ground in my first sip, but it was just that. I was like, well, all right, I'll get some grounds here, but there were no more. It was just that one, or
and
a couple.
This recipe is associated with what country or continent?
I just looked up an old, you know, it's essentially just an Indonesian coffee recipe.
An Indonesian coffee.
Yeah, and I've had Turkish coffees.
Yeah, I was going to say Turkish.
Exactly. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to.
No.
But similar, right?
I mean, I associate Turkish, and yeah, if you asked me who's got the grounds right in the cup, I'd say Turkish, and maybe, I could be wrong, I'm not sure, Cuban, something about some Cuban coffee is supposed to be really good, and I just have never been able to experience it, I'm not sure.
It sounds like it's more popular, as we know, than the things we do in America.
Yeah.
Out there. So yeah, I've had experiences before, like with Turkish coffee as well. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I have had this, and this is it. I mean, I didn't find much beyond that after one finishes coffee, that sometimes there's what's left is dirt, which has been muddled in the bottom of the cup. And so we started calling it that. And it seems to have cropped up in America in the 20s.
Well,
which was around the time we started calling people mud as well.
I mean, being a fan of old things as I am.
Yeah.
You know, I've purchased several vintage coffee percolators that you put on the stove with a little glass top on them. And certainly the cups you pour out of there end up with some grounds in them. You know, it's just, it's not a...
Because it's a metal strainer, essentially, right? It's not a filter, right?
Right. And exactly.
Yeah.
So you get stuff in there. And like you say, there was a campfire, good old survival way of living that we maybe used to live, that now we're, everything's pristine and filtered and everything. But yeah, so back then you'd have had some grounds.
You would just have the grounds in the cup. Yeah. And that was it. And so you would, it seems like that's the way.
Sludge.
Yeah. It's just like, it looks like mud in the cup. We call it mud.
Ta-da.
Yeah. But I made it. It was good. I liked it. I felt a very intense caffeine buzz.
Oh.
So I don't know. I ground my fine coffee grounds and did the thing. It was nice.
Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah. I think that wraps up our words for coffee, right?
Our coffee words, you know, because a lot of them, they're all very much related to each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So those are... 3 good ones, but if any listeners have others they'd like us to investigate, by all means.
Yes.
I have listener thoughts.
Fantastic. What are the listener thoughts?
Listener thoughts. We still don't have a
it's
thing.
It's good. That's
we really
a good
should
start.
Do one, yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Seems here we got a note from Cheeks.
Cheeks.
Yeah.
All right.
And he is saying that he was catching up on a few episodes and the Tears for Fears cover band story that I told
yes.
had him crying laughing, which I was happy to hear.
Yeah. Nice.
He says, he's really enjoying the podcast every week and hope we're doing well.
Fantastic. Thank you, Cheeks.
Thank you.
Thanks for writing in as well. And
yeah, Tears for Fears.
That went away that I didn't expect. That was in the love episode, right?
Yes, because it was head over heels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, so if you haven't listened to that.
My head's just all blurry mush up there.
Well, we got that one, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, nice.
And then
if you want to get to us.
Yeah, how will we do it?
You can get to us at Whole Nine Yards Pod on Twitter, Reddit, and Instagram.
Oh, Reddit.
Yeah.
Wait, what are we Reddit?
Well, just the user, Whole Nine Yards Pod.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, we don't have like a subreddit, sorry, I guess. You could message us on Reddit if you'd like. Or with the Whole Nine Yards Podcast on the other one.
On the Facebooks.
Yeah.
That's fantastic news.
Yes.
Everything's going to be great. I'm Jay.
And I'm Ray.
And we're not idioms.
Whole Nine Yards is written, recorded, and produced by Big Science Pods. Learn more at wholenineyards.org or contact Whole Nine Yards by emailing heyyou@wholenineyards.org. That's heyyou@wholenumber9yards.org. Whole Nine Yards theme music composed by Big Science Music.